We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's call it a good afternoon, everybody. Today is Thursday, February 22nd. I am Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse with two of the original Avengers of it, Grant Bills and Paul Immig. A lot of MCU talk that I could get into. Kane's dead. It's fucked up. Oh, man. You can catch this podcast on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream and also the YouTube stream. And you can also catch it, obviously, Spotify, Apple, and Google for now. I believe Google Podcasts is going away. So get it for now. They're like shifting to YouTube. Google. We are brought to you the by Tupelo Honey, which they've got a few things on the horizon. So with the seasons changing, the four seasons that we have in Wisconsin, summer, fall, January 18th, spring, winter is gone. But with it becoming more spring-like, they are doing a spring-summer menu flip to give you more of the spring and summery taste of the Southern fare that they offer. So that's coming up, I believe, mid-March. And they've got their Easter brunch reservations that are filling up. They've got their weekend reservations if you're going somewhere for, like, March Madness games or when Big East tournament or whatever. Or if you want to get down, I will mention, maybe you want to get down there on Saturday before the Admirals go for their 19th straight win. So check them out. Tupelo Honey, downtown, right across from the public market, other side of the soon-to-be-demolished 794. You can make your reservations, TupeloHoneyCafe.com. And we thank them for bringing you this episode. How are you, boys?
Well,
I mean, I'm doing great. I get to go to lacrosse tonight, and I'm very excited. Well, it's for a funeral.
You're waiting. Your tone was like, ooh.
Well, it's lacrosse, but it's a funeral, so that's what I'm dealing with. But I'm doing good. I'm doing excellent. How about you, Bart? No one asks, how are you? You don't worry about our guests. You always have to worry about us. How are you?
No, too many people ask me how I am throughout the course of the show. You know, you have people that call and say, how's it going? And you try to train callers not to do that. Last week, I heard JR in his final hour on the JR Sport Brief show. He goes, all right, I'm taking a call. Don't ask me how I'm doing. Don't thank me for coming on. Just get into it. And then he goes to the guy, and the guy like froze because he didn't know what to say. Because he's like, what do I do? What do I do here? And also what I've noticed is whenever I did the show in Milwaukee, people would always be like, hey, thanks for taking my call. But on this new show, people are saying, thanks for having me on your show. There's a very distinct difference, and I don't like it.
I don't either. I'm glad that you noticed this.
You're not a guest. You're a caller.
You know, that's why I would never bring it up, because if I sound like a dick. If I'm like, I'm not having you on. You called me. This is not a.
I'm not having you on.
You're on. I'm not having you on. There's a, but it also, it's a little.
Glad you're here, but I can totally do this without you. I don't need
Yeah.
I don't know. There was the fourth hour of the Wednesday night show. I was talking college football and how I think, you know, the season's going to be really good. And I had a guy call in and he made a point that I had not made about how when you're like a preseason favorite, like you kind of determine the playoffs just based on some dumb preseason poll. And then people have to, it's going to give more opportunity for these teams to climb up. And then he also made me think of another point of all the years that Wisconsin, you know, you get excited, but then they lose in September and the season's over. And that won't necessarily be the case anymore. So I said, his name was Mo. I said, Mo, I'm not kidding. And take this to heart. This is why I always advocate that sports radio is better with callers. Because you came in here with a great point and you got me thinking, which is it enhances the program. I'm going to reference this call in the future when this comes up. Next segment, I took three calls. The worst three calls I've ever fucking taken.
So I woke up.
One guy talking about CJ Stroud dating Amber Rose. And instead of saying body count, he said something else like girlfriend resume or something weird. It's like, I don't know, man. Paul, what were you saying?
I saw your tweet this morning. Someone said to you, like, weird ending to the show. And you're like, you said, and so the first thing I listened to when I woke up and had a moment was the last 15 minutes of the show because I wanted to see just how bad it was. And you did not undersell it. It was really bad.
some bad call.
And I heard Mo's call, which was a good call. So that was confused because I like, okay, was like, why this actually was a very good call. And then yes, and then it couldn't have gone worse after that.
Yeah.
Like it's not
programming note. I will be competing with Grant tomorrow. I'll be in for Zach Gelb on Friday.
Oh, I'm off tomorrow. So that'll be perfect.
Oh, great.
Don't take this the wrong way. Because you know, don't take this the wrong way. But for the first time, I heard the Wednesdays with Winkler on the Zach Gelb show. I didn't know why I had been missing it. Right? And maybe I heard it one other time, like before you had a national perspective every night. So maybe I did hear it one other time. But like, you guys are really like that's good. That's a good duo. Like you can't both be together because you both need to host your own shows. But like that was really good.
Right.
Like what you've said.
Why would he take that the wrong way?
What I was gonna say the wrong way is like that I hadn't heard it before.
Oh,
like that I was just hearing.
Like you guys ever listen to him? I'm like, wow.
We're not yet. But let's get something clear. We're not responsible to listen to Bart ever if we don't want to. Like Paul treats us as like we can't miss a moment, so we're prepared for this podcast every week. That's not true. That's not true. I listen when I have time, like when nothing's going on, and I like it's great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't go back and check the tape the next day.
Yeah.
Like for all 4 hours, like I need to consume it.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm always doing research. Bart, let me just say real quick. You've always said this though. You're a good host. You're a great guest.
I'm like, a great guest.
Like, so you just
you always said this.
You have.
I know. I'm such a dick.
But you've said it publicly. I'm not like airing private messages. Like publicly, you're like, oh, I'm a great guest, and you are. But you're good host, great guest.
So at what point? Well, you said I was good with Gelb.
Yes.
People like us three together. Mm-hmm. I've gotten people that say, oh, Bart, you and Nick Kostos are really good together. Oh, you and Horvat are good. At what point am I just fucking elite? Like, what
you are the common denominator here. And when you're on with your guys at 670 The Score, that's always a very good segment.
Well, you got to know what your role is.
Yes. And you play the role very well.
When I go on there, it's to get my ass kicked.
Punching bag. Comedic punching bag. And I think we can say that is unanimously correct.
Anyway,
Grant last night, Bart couldn't say the word unanimously.
Oh, my God. Four times.
He could not say unanimously.
I couldn't.
No, you couldn't. It was I enjoyed up. It.
If I kept track of every word that Bart was close but not quite on over the course of every night, like, I would have a hell of a list.
But this one, he paused because he was like, unanimous.
No, there was another. There was another one a guy called in about that we didn't take on air. It was something like, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm close enough.
Close enough. Close enough. All right. Should we start Brewers?
I think that's it for the week. Good show.
Great job.
I enjoyed it. Ready?
Yeah.
Grant, sneaking suspicion this might be part of your show tonight. Craig Council will never lose this community by deciding to work for the people who treat him better. He is one of us. Heck, he is the best of us. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. We don't have to go down this road. It was unplanned.
No, I think it's look, we have friends at the Journal Sentinel. What happened?
This was written by a guy in Virginia.
This editorial that was published was not of even their knowledge. But when it got tweeted out, the Journal Sentinel account tweeted it, and it says clearly on it opinion. And it's got like two quote tweets. And then the JS Brewers Twitter account tweeted it. It didn't say opinion. And it's got like 500 quote tweets.
150,000 views already, like with not that much time having elapsed.
Like the opinion section of a newspaper is fine. It's one of the hallmarks of the paper. Right.
And it's not new. It's been around forever. No.
Classifieds, comics, obits, horoscopes, TV guide. The newspaper was great.
The TV guide.
And the opinion, the thing with the opinion section is it's labeled opinion. If you don't label it opinion, then it doesn't look like an opinion. You don't put an opinion on the front page. And also, fuck that guy because he wrote like an asshole. Actual article is atrocious. It's pun here, zinger here. I think I'm Rick Riley here.
Zing, boom, Torero, especially Torero or something like that. I read it at 6:30. It was the first thing I did when I woke up today. I read that fucking thing because it was in every group chat.
It's an awful piece of writing. It's like he's cosplaying as a writer. It's awful. It's like he told his buddies, hey, watch this. I'm going to get this in the newspaper as a parody. It's the only real explanation. And the guy lives in Virginia. And he probably has no idea that any of this conversation happened. That, like, he's not on Twitter. He's just some old fuck in Virginia that's like, well, I remember when Craig Council used to come to the ballpark as a young man. Why are they doing this to him? I'm gonna pen an editorial on it.
I think, honestly, the one part of it I think that was good, and not that anything that happens on social media is a good representation of society, but because all of the comments are just, this is the worst thing I've ever read. I hate this art. It let me know, because I have a couple buddies who are just like, dude, what's the big deal? Like back when Council went to the Cubs, and I was like, you guys, I was like, fuck this guy. And they
burning
were like,
hell.
And they were confused by my thoughts on it. What I'm relieved by, to some degree, is that this gets published, and then you can say, like, oh, good. It's not like the three of us live in a little echo chamber of It's like, no, like, okay. So I think we're in the vast majority of, like, no, this is not cool. And by the way, my favorite part about all of this, and we didn't know this in November when Council first went to the Cubs, but the Cubs have since done jack shit in free agency. So it's like, oh, like, and you know, the Brewers have made some moves recently, including Brandon Woodruff that I want to talk about. But I enjoy the comments of it. I'm glad to know that that's maybe like the common sentiment is what the three of us have been saying now for a few months.
Yeah. If there was any question as to whether people were over the Council thing, like, people are not over the Council. Well, and it's interesting because it was the biggest thing in the world in my life for like 2 weeks. The week that it happened, and then the week that he was introduced, and then it was football. And I kind of stopped thinking about it. And over the course of the football season, like when a little headline would pop up here or there, like in December, January, I would just be sitting in the studio and out of nowhere, I'd be like, that's right. Fuck that guy. Like I know we moved on to do football, but like everyone remember what council did and like refused to be okay with it. So I'm glad that that line of thinking still persists. And it just took some hack in Virginia to wake everyone up and wake Brewers to wake the community up online. And look, if council doesn't go to the Cubs, I'm not saying they don't make all these moves, but the Brewers have been in their bag and then some this offseason. Personnel, social media, like Murphy's deadpanning to the social media person with the camera in the locker room. Like, what is that? What is like Jim Halpert style? Like, they are in their bag in Maryvale, right? Just at full court press every possible way. That's good. I think it lit a fire under this organization.
It lit a fire under me. I've been more excited. I hate baseball. But now I don't anymore. Now I'm fucking pumped up.
Stop. You don't.
And we better boo council. We better boo council May 27th. I'm still worried about that.
Well, I mean, we can the three of us and then those listening, we can do something about that. Winkler Fest 2024. So I mean, there's a way for us to actually influence.
We better boo him. I live 8 minutes from the ballpark, and I could go.
The good news is, and this is what I don't want to hear from Bart. There's plenty of parking. I wouldn't want to worry. You don't have to worry about the parking. Funny.
I am going to try to be a part of Nooner Day. I'm going to try to go to that.
The other thing I liked about the fact that this happened this morning.
Nine to noon goes to that Brewer game.
Well, Sunburn Bowl's too expensive, but Nooner Day you might be able to pull off.
Yeah, because somebody tweeted at me the Nooner Day, and they go, oh, Bart Winkler show. And I go, don't take me. I want to go.
The one question I was going to ask, and Bart, I did not know how you were going to answer it, but you've kind of answered it. So let's just briefly touch on it. You are amped and ready to go, fired up for Brewers season, like ride or die, Pat Murphy. Let's go. Like baseball season. You're ready to talk about it. You're ready to live it. You're ready for this to consume your next, at this point, 7.5 months or longer. On that. I didn't know what you were going to say, Bart. I think now I do know. But
No.
What
the fuck are you going to do every day?
I don't want it to consume me. I'll like that it's a part of my day.
Well, okay. So you're taking the technicality of consume. Okay.
But no, not the technicality. Like,
I should have said you're more.
I'm going to have a lot, so I don't work during the day, so do I go to games?
I would if I were in your shoes. How about this?
You're going to want a beer, and then I'm not going to want to.
How about this? You're more amped for this Brewer season than you have been in at least, let's say, since 2018. Or maybe the 2019, because they were coming off of what was so close. Because you were down on Brewers for a few years. Actively hated them, or like seemed to be kind of maybe sort of rooting against them.
No, I'm just glad that I still have it in me. I thought after the playoffs, I just baseball sucks, but I still, there's still the little burning desire to want to love baseball. So it is still in me. So yes, when I'm, doing the show, I'll have the game on and I'll watch it. Am I going to dissect every move? I don't know. I'm going to clearly watch the games during the day. We'll see how into it I get. Obviously, if they win a bunch, I do kind of like that. You don't really know what to expect. Let's say they win 87 games. At one point, it's not really like the Packers season, but if they win 87 games, you'll be like, oh yeah, I get it. But you'll also be like, holy crap, holy cow, what? So there's an opportunity for this year to be fun. And the Pat Murphy, I think that's going to change the whole vibe. Like we talked about that before council left, is that maybe there just needs to be a change of like the vibe.
Yeah.
And I hate that council went to the Cubs, and I hate that he did that after pretending to be a Brewer this whole time. But I like that he's gone.
I think there's something to be said too for like you just said how. So the Mike Budenholzer, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Giannis, Brooke Lopez Bucks. Like, after they won the title, like, okay, cool. Like, wake me up in mid-April, right? Like, it was okay. Like, there's games on. I'm going to watch them, and, like, it's going to be fine, and they're going to lose, and we shouldn't overreact. They're going to win. I'm not going to overreact. I think that's kind of what the Brewers have been. And, like, you know, like, the credit that they deserve is that, as Yelich, I think I've heard him talk about, this is a great era. We don't have to call it anything more superfluous, but, like, it's a great era.
Golden Age. Golden Age Brewers baseball.
There you go. But, like, they have just they've made making the playoffs routine. So this change to me is, and by the way, it doesn't mean that well, I would say making the playoffs has become the expectation. But this change, even though, like, look at the Bucks, this has been a very difficult Bucks week, needless to say.
It didn't have to be.
Thank you, Bart. We took the words right out of my mouth. Didn't need to be.
But they self-inflicted through comments.
Didn't need to make a big deal out of any of it.
Didn't need to, but there's no games happening. There's no football. It was a perfect time to, like, make all of this. And by the way, it is on the court coming off of a loss against the G.G. Jackson-led Memphis Grizzlies when Giannis and Dame all played. And, like, so it was – there was game action on top of that that was negative. But, like – so my point is the change where it's like, okay, Budenholzer's gone. Drew Holiday's gone. Well, there's Dame and there's this new rookie coach, Adrian Griffin. Oh, now they're going to change to Doc. Like, the change could, it's going to create roller coaster waves that we're unfamiliar with. Just like it is, like, that's why I'm comparing it to the Brewers. Like, maybe they're worse. Maybe they're better. But the monotonous of 162 with, like, Council and Corbin Burnes is your number one. Like, there's new stuff here. I know, Grant, you look like you're disagreeing, but that's how I'm feeling about it.
I just don't like that you're comparing Brewers baseball to the Bucks or to the Packers, because I don't think in football, at least when you're Super Bowl or bust every year, like, I don't think you get to enjoy the ride. And at this point with the Bucks, I don't know that there's a lot of enjoying the ride. Baseball is the enjoy the ride sport. So I think comparing the situation that the Brewers are in to the Bucks or the Pack, it's apples to oranges, if we're being honest.
2018 Bart just absolutely.
Don't you say that.
Yeah, don't say apples to oranges. And also, Bart, you had about two or three Mountain Dews when you called the postgame show in 2018 when they said, well, yes, they just lost to the Dodgers. And yeah, they missed the chance to go to the World Series, but what a great ride it was. So, like, I would have chosen my words differently than Bart did that night, but I agreed with him. Like, I'm not going to look back favorably at 2018. I don't now. I didn't then. Like, that was
heartless.
Well, I look back favorably on it.
Because it ended.
I was in the locker room three different times. That was
fucking awesome. It was
It was literally like, it's like say, okay, yeah, well, Little Big League where Ken Griffey Jr. robs, you know, the home run and the Twins lose. Like, it was a fun ride, but then you lose in a terrible fashion. So, like, there were good things about it, but I don't look back at it and think, wow, what a wonderful season. Like, it ended.
It was an incredible season.
But it ended in a way that takes away that.
Where do you get off? I know that the Brewers have done nothing but win the last couple of years, and the floor has been raised. But since when as Brewers fans can we afford to turn up our nose at an NLCS appearance? I don't know where this is coming from, Paul.
In the box score, in, like, the historical registry where it says 2018 NLCS, it's going to look great. Like, I'll give you an analogy, actually, real quick. I just thought of this.
Just now?
How do you spell? Yeah. How do you spell media?
Well, it begins with me.
It does. So let me tell you a story. It was like, I don't know, whatever year it was, one of the years where the Packers lost in heartbreaking fashion. I think it was the Seattle game.
That narrows it down.
I think it was the Seattle, like, you know, 99% chance that Brandon Bostic, all that. I think it was that game. But the next day, exit interviews in the locker room, and Josh Sitton said something at the time, younger me thought was crazy, was I would have rather have lost by a lot. I would have rather have not made the playoffs. I'm paraphrasing what Josh Sitton said at the time. But it was like, so you were extremely close to making the Super Bowl, and you're saying, Josh, that, like, you would have rather just been a bad team? And so I'm kind of, that's kind of how I'm remembering the 2018 Brewers, is like, they were so, Bart, it's kind of like this, the story you talk about, like, it's hard being a Packers fan. Like, people think like, oh, this is like, you're good every year. You're good every year. You always make the playoffs. Like, yeah, but you don't know playoff failure like I do, like we do.
Well, it's to different. Be fair, and this is a Dan Cheney YouTube stream moment. I don't remember much of the 2018 playoffs.
That was against the Colorado Rockies, so that one was different. I don't know.
I was not sleeping.
I do not know who took that picture.
I was not sleeping.
That led to the biggest Bart Chuck fight I think that ever existed.
Which was the day that it got reviewed. There was that. It wasn't. There was a website that was doing reviews of shows, and they listened to that day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I played his review once during a best of, and people were like, "What the fuck is this?"
All right. Any other thoughts on this?
Oh, just that I think baseball is the enjoy the ride sport. I think it is. So, like, you can say that the season ended poorly, but I mean, it's also taking place in the summer when we're just much happier, and like, I'm just happy to have it on. Like, I'm not excusing the Brewers' failures and saying that it's okay just because I enjoyed the ride of the season, but I think it is different from football and the Bucs season right now in that regard.
I think nothing makes me appreciate that baseball's around the corner, that there's going to be a game on 6.5 nights a week, you know, like on average 27 nights a month, than this past week in which there's been no Bucs, no Brewers, obviously no NFL, no NBA. Like, at night, man, like, thank goodness for my friends on TNT from 7 to 9 Central on Wednesday nights that I had something to watch. AEW. All right.
It's on TBS, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
TBS.
It's hard when you do YouTube TV. Like, it's weird now. Like, you know, I don't have channels. I just go to my, like, library and it's there. But, yeah, you're right.
I would like to just remind people that one way to enjoy baseball more is to take a gummy during it. Happy Place Hemp. The promo code is BART. You get 25% off each and every order. You may ask yourself, Bart, didn't you start talking about that promo code a year and a half ago? How on earth is it still applicable now? To which I say, it just is, you shithead.
Damn it.
25% off. Happy Place Hemp. You got your gummies. You can do the balm, the tinctures. There's also just like CBD. If you're looking for CBD, if you've got, oh, my arm hurts, that might work. It may or may not have cured my gout. I don't know. Remember when I had?
You may or may not have had gout in the first place. Not to chime in, but we're still not totally sure about that.
No, I definitely had gout. That fucking hurt. It was bullshit too. Because every week a new thing would hurt. And then the CBD came along. Also, the drinks that they have made with 1840 Brewing, the seltzers, it does have CBD and THC in it. They have those available at Ray's and Tosa, where good buddy Brennan Schultz used to work. Also, you can get them at Happy Place Hemp in the location of Muskego. You can order them online, free shipping after you get your third. So if you get 3-4 packs, then they'll ship them for free. They're a little heavier than the normal gummies that you might buy, but check them out. As I've mentioned, it's been great. The CBD CBN ones to help me sleep, so appreciate them. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART, 25% off every order. Yes, shitheads.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Segue that would have built off of the enjoy the ride portion. And I like first off, aside from all of the unnecessary podcasts and comments that Bucks people made during the playoff or during the All-Star break, but the one thing that I really liked, other than, of course, Damian Lillard winning the three-point contest and the All-Star Game MVP, is that something, and you know, maybe this is former journalist looking at narratives and whatever else, that could very well be true. But what I liked is that after the All-Star Game, which Lillard was MVP, Shaq said, you know, Dame, I don't have a question for you. I have a statement. If you guys don't win the championship and you fail, like, there's only three people who are going to get blamed, you, Doc, and Giannis. And Dame was like, it shouldn't, by the way, I would say it shouldn't take, you know, someone like Shaq to make that comment for that to matter. So maybe it's meaningless and I'm thinking more of it. But on the topic of enjoying the ride or expectations and how that affects the viewing experience, it had me at least wondering, at least in the context of comparing it to Brewers, anything short of a championship this season is a failure for the Bucks? Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. Is it championship or bust?
It depends on who you ask.
I'm asking you.
I would say a championship is okay if they don't win this year, but they win next year.
I agree with that. Now, we won't know that, obviously, but yeah, I do agree with that because I, as we talked about recently, they're going to win one of the next two. Mm-hmm. I've been that guy.
But I I've unfollowed a lot of people. And one guy heard the podcast and then I unfollowed him, like, because I saw his tweet later. And then he goes, oh, big, mighty guys unfollowing people that don't agree with them. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll follow this guy back. Maybe I'm wrong. So I looked at his Twitter. And the most recent tweet was at Damian Lillard. Fuck you, bitch. You make more threes, asshole.
No.
I'm like, well, what? I'm not following this. Mm-mm. I'm not condoning this. So, but it's also like, and then, you know, that Dame video that was 10 seconds where he said Bam Adebayo.
Mm-hmm.
One guy who I think is an incredible – what word do I want to use? I very much dislike this man.
Uh-oh.
Kevin O'Connor of the Ringer. I do not like this man.
I had a feeling you might not. Just I think, yeah. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Pre-flow tweets. How are we feeling about this, Bucks fans? After ignoring us for a decade. One thing that's going to rile us up. He jumps on.
I just am annoyed by Kevin O'Connor.
Isn't this what we wanted? What? Everyone ignores Milwaukee. No, I turn on these shows. No one's ever talking about Milwaukee. I say, guys, because there's no drama here. It's just a good team with a good player. Now there's drama. Now only everybody's talking about Milwaukee. And if you look at the NBA standings, Grant, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
I did do this the other day. Let's look in the West. You got the Timberwolves. What are people saying about them? Good things. Thunder, Clippers, Nuggets. Even the Suns, who people were shitting on earlier, are now a dark horse to win the finals. Top five teams. Oh wow. Incredible stuff. Celtics, Cavs, Knicks, even the Sixers. Oh, they'll batter through Embiid. Everyone's saying good things about every team except for us. But isn't this what we wanted? To be talked about? To be relevant?
It's Bucks versus the world. That's what Doc's got to play this week. Now, the problem is Doc kind of created a lot. It's kind of Doc's. A lot of it is Doc's fault.
It is. But
that's the message this week. No one thinks. No one thinks we.
What I have to believe this is that Doc did this intentionally. Like, he's trying to create an environment, an atmosphere. I know, a JJ Redick and others will say, well, he's not taking accountability and he's not whatever. Like, there has to be a method to this madness. It is madness. There has to be a reason. He's too experienced. He should know what he's doing more than just having this be like off the cuff remarks. Like, I have to believe this was purposeful. I have to. Because if it's not,
I don't think there is. I don't think it's purposeful. I just don't think he cares. This is my thing with Doc, is everyone's like, he's skirting accountability. I don't think that's it. I just think he's being 100% honest, which as a coach, you cannot do. You know what I mean? Plus, and I mentioned this earlier this week on my show, like Matt LaFleur comes to the podium, always takes accountability. We hate it.
Too much.
We're like, okay, so you want a coach to walk the line of sometimes blaming his players and sometimes taking accountability and blaming himself?
Well, like you don't want them to be Rick Pitino. Like, you saw those.
Yeah. Like, I guess my point is everyone's mad that Doc is like, well, my players were in Cabo. They obviously were. What do you want to say? I need to do a better job. Sure. But then we get mad at Matt LaFleur when he does that. So I don't know what fans want all the time.
Well, I was okay with the Cabo comment. I was less comfortable with, I asked him, what are you even doing? Why are you doing this? Like, okay.
Why do you want to hire me?
And by the thing is, like, I like Doc, the media guy, because of the stories he's willing to openly share. He's good at, I like that. Like, that for me, I want to listen to that.
Are we experiencing Sean Payton 2.0? Were you sorry he was in broadcaster mode? Is that what we're getting?
Yeah. And why is JJ Redick so pissed? His profile is risen because Doc's out of that chair. He gets to call NBA Finals.
By the way, it could be absolutely miserable having Redick call Doc Rivers Bucks finals games and whatever else. That could be.
He's so honestly
the Bucks Celtic series on ABC
with Doris and Redick.
I don't know if they have the East this year. They alternate, but
Bart, you might remember this years ago, but I remember talking to you about this, but I haven't done it in a few years. But I used to, on the settings on my receiver for the audio, I can turn down different channels, and there would be certain announcers. I don't do it as much anymore because I listen typically with my headphones in. But by the way, is that normal? Did anybody do that?
Do you do anything casually? Is there a single thing in your life you just do casually?
No, there's not.
Interesting.
I'm balls. If I'm doing it, I'm all in.
How do you listen to the TV with headphones on?
Yeah, with the AirPods in through the Apple TV. Like you can connect I like it more. I like it more in my ear than that. But anyway, that aside,
Grant and I are both just frozen.
Well, by the way, it's quieter. So I'm also trying to be a good family member, you know, that there's not the roar of the crowd and announcers. So I'm also trying to be respectful. That's a part of it, but I do actually enjoy it more from an auditory experience in my ear. But you can turn down the channel. And this would be, I think, a thing where, like, if it's a Doris Burke and JJ Redick calling like a Bucks Celtics game, I won't be able to put the headphones in because I'm going to have to turn down the channel where the announcing voices come through. Cause I will not be able to. And it won't be fun on mute. Cause I want to hear the crowd. So I don't want to do that either, but yeah, that'd be miserable.
Interesting. Yeah, all right. Nothing wrong with that. I just felt like I learned a little bit more about Paul Imig, and that's cool. I always appreciate that.
I mean, this is both a strength and a weakness, but yeah, I don't do anything half or three quarters. I'm either really, 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 really into it and very passionate about it, or I just don't do it.
No, but even like normal stuff, you find a different way to do.
Like what?
Like watching TV. Like literally watching TV, for starters.
like the thing you just mentioned that made me say that.
I thought maybe you had other examples. All right, someone else, either because you're just trying to be a good family member in your household or because you enjoy it more, someone else is listening like, oh, yeah, I put my AirPods in.
No, like watching a game 3 days later on DVR.
That's very weird. That's very
the mean. Moment is past. It's past.
You're, but I'm not there for that. I'm there to one I acknowledge. That's a weird.
You watch sports like most people read books. Like I can't get to the next one until I've seen this. But it was 3 days ago. At this point, just screw it. Read an AP article and then just get ready for the next one. But you're like, no, I must continue on the path of the lore of the 2024 Bucks.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. That's how, yeah. That one I agree with. Let me ask you, let's get one more in if we could, Grant. And this is a unique one. I'm going to rule out the Super Bowl, and I'm not sure if I should rule out the NBA Finals. So at the moment, I'll let you answer the NBA Finals. I will not let you answer the Super Bowl. But if it's an obvious NBA Finals answer, I'm going to say you can't say it. This is on the heels of Daytona. The sporting event that's not the Super Bowl And by the way, it can't be your team. So if I want to see the Brewers in the World Series, you're not allowed to do that. It would have to be two random teams. The sporting event that's not the Super Bowl and that does not involve your team that you would attend first, your first choice, would be the Daytona 500. I'm just going to say Daytona 500. I don't know what you guys are going to say, but for the sake of I'll say you would choose the Daytona 500.
No, I think mine's pretty easy.
It's the World Cup.
Yeah.
I almost ruled that out too because I thought that might be – but that's a very bar.
Okay, but then you know what second is? WrestleMania.
No. Yeah, mine would have used to have been WrestleMania. Now I'd say it's all in. At Wembley.
500.
So give me your barometer on this.
Well, no, I would like to attend a race someday, like a NASCAR race, because I used to grant tape races at the La Crosse Speedway.
Oh, really?
So when I worked at UPN, KQEG was UPN.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go in there and I would do the tape deck and I'd have to edit commercials into the, you would get like a 30 minute syndicated show of like Jack Hanna's Animal Rescue. And then to insert the commercials, I'd have to record from one VCR to another. It was wild and fucking awesome. And then to play live programming, we put in a VCR and press play.
Wow.
So then I'd call my buddy and be like, turn on channel 5 or whatever. And then I just paused the TV.
Yeah.
But then on Saturday nights, we never taped anything live. It was always, we would do high school basketball games that then would tape, we would air them the next day. And then with the race, we would air them the next night as well. And so I went to that La Crosse Speedway like 15 different times. And so I liked that. But in terms of like Daytona, I mean, well, not Road America. That's different, but like an oval track, I'd go to any race. I don't know that the Daytona 500 as a fan would be any different than the one this weekend in Atlanta. Racing's really hard. I talked about this week, but you can not be winning the whole time and then just win.
It's like baseball.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like the Diamondbacks. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what I would. You know, I'm tempted to actually say the Big Ten tournament. In high school, I had buddies. We would always watch college basketball together. And we said, one day, I want to go to Indianapolis, because it was always in Indianapolis at the time. Like, I want to go down there for a couple of days and just watch like basketball games all day, every day. Like, there's fewer games as the tournament goes along. I think that would be really fun. It would be like the state tournament for basketball, except, you know, a level up. And that doesn't really exist, the next level up. Like, there's not really there's no version of that in professional sports.
Well, you could, I mean, not the Summer League, NBA Summer League. Like,
that's a good one. I didn't think about that. Yeah. Also, those games suck and the players suck, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, but you wouldn't, if you went to one Summer League game, you'd be like, ugh. But I think like Summer League is something you go to 10 games in 2 days.
Well,
and then it's more of like the cumulative of the, by the way, I didn't think of that one before. Just as you were saying what you said, I thought of the Summer League. That one would be high on my list for sure.
Maybe a golf tournament, maybe the Masters, but
Masters would be cool. Yeah.
That'd be low on mine. Like, I would say, as someone who doesn't really, I kind of sort of have a hockey team in the NHL, the Lightning is my team. But it's not the same, but like going to an NHL Stanley Cup final would be very high on my list. Daytona would not have been on mine until my dad went and sent me these videos. And I'm like, oh, okay. I don't think I want to, but I wouldn't be invested. Like, it's something you go to for 30 minutes, like, oh, that was unique. That was cool. But I wouldn't care. So maybe that'd be more, I don't know.
Like when I was in Atlanta for a morning show boot camp and the Braves were playing. So I went to the Braves game for 30 minutes just to say that I went, and then I left.
I wouldn't do that.
The problem with this is when you get to a certain level, it gets corporate. Like, the Super Bowl loses a little bit of touch. And I think the national championship game does, and the Final Four, because you're playing it in a football stadium. And it's been, what would be really cool is if you could go to the Iron Bowl or like Red River when Oklahoma and Texas are both really good. Like that would be an environment that would be really cool.
Yeah.
More so than I think a college football playoff game. Cause then you're in like Jerry World and like, yeah, that would be cool, but it wouldn't be like, it feels more like a television product in a big event more than it feels like a college football game. So like one of the SEC rivalry games would be cool.
Thinking out loud. What about like a Duke, North Carolina basketball game?
Yeah. Yeah. Michigan, no. Ohio State football.
Yeah. One of those. No, Bart, how come it's so anti that one? That'd be just a crazy environment.
Yeah. I don't like that rivalry. I think it sucks.
Okay. But also, what the gym is just so small.
I'm not rivalry. That's why.
And Grant, kind of on the heels of your Big Ten tournament example, I did get to cover one NCAA tournament, and my media credential was floor seats. And it was, I don't even like college sports, really. I mean, it's fine. It's not my thing. But I loved it. Like it was, I was like, whoa.
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah, because there's other games on.
See, I ended up not. I hear what you're saying. I ended up not minding because it was just fun. It was just a cool environment. By the way, the one that I was at, the big deal there was Jared Sullinger, Ohio State, and he was supposed to be the guy. And also there, and was not that big of a deal, was Kawhi Leonard. But it was like, oh, whatever, Kawhi. No, Jared Sullinger, he's the guy. Like that's the guy you tank for, Jared Sullinger. A guy who John Hammond, former Bucks GM, absolutely adored as a prospect, and then didn't happen much with his career. So wait, give me your number one. The World Cup is barred, so I'm going to eliminate World Cup. Give me your number two. Is it WrestleMania?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have to be close, or do you just have to be there for this to be number one?
For Mania, I would just have to be in the building.
Just in the building. Okay. Grant, where'd you settle?
I might say Big Ten tournament. That sounds really fun. In a year, but it depends. Some of these like college sports, there's so much ebb and flow with when the teams are good and when there are star players, right? So that would be a factor. But
Big Ten, what I'd love to go back to is Bucks games during COVID.
Oh,
you had so much room.
What about a Packers game with you being 1 of 500?
That would suck.
You know what would be really cool is I'd love to go back to some Johnny Davis Lacrosse Central on Alaska matchups. Those were fucking unbelievable. Huh. High school basketball, when things really align, it can be really cool. Mostly.
What about sucks, I can get back to those Bronson Canning Aquinas games.
Or that I tweeted about it the other day. I saw when Lacrosse Central, when Johnny Davis is the peak of his powers, play Minnehaha Academy, which was Jalen Suggs and Chet Holmgren and a bunch of those guys. That's the coolest sporting event I've ever been to.
Oh, so you saw, so who is with Johnny Davis then?
On Central?
Yeah. Anybody else?
His brother Jordan.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson, who went on to play, I think, at Green Bay.
Not Tristan Thompson of the Kardashians or the Cavs.
No, in fact, his name's Terrence Thompson. I always did that during games, which is a problem. And now I'm reminded of that. No, they were just an amazing team. To see them go up against a bunch of guys who are now in the NBA.
But Chet and Suggs had to have destroyed that team, no?
No, it was a fucking unbelievable game. Johnny Davis had like 40 points. It was it wasn't like final possession close, but it was within like 5 points into the final minute. It was sick. So, nobody could make free throws. I remember none of the Lacrosse Central guys could make free throws.
Speaking of which,
I wish I could live two lives at once. Like one where I was living this life, but then another where I was living still with my family, but I worked train. In Lacrosse and was just worked at 9 to 5 there and just lived in Lacrosse.
You could just fuck off. Ugh.
That's what Grant wants too. He just wants to live in Lacrosse.
I do, but just
Grant,
not,
did the,
not
the did
way
the Wizards world just works. As someone who obviously saw a lot of Johnny Davis, did the Wizards just destroy him? Like did they just permanently disable his ability to shoot normally and be confident? Like what happened?
Well, I don't know. He had a kid. Normally, that's like maybe that. I thought that was supposed to make you better, but it seemed.
Hey, don't tell him to say the F word, or you'll have guys Facebooking you.
I think the word you used was correct. Gall.
The gall of this guy. I don't know. Ask Toby. I don't know. It happens all the time. Like I don't know that his jump shot was great, but now I see clips of it. I'm like, holy shit, they made it worse.
Yeah,
I'm gonna tell. Everyone
I don't know. I think NBA teams get so bent out of shape getting their guys to shoot the right way.
Yeah,
like it's just do what works. You know what I mean? If it's worked for him all the time, look at Halliburton. Halliburton's got a weird shot. They didn't change it, and it's working just fine.
You know Patrick Baldwin Jr.'s on the Wizards?
Really?
I don't think I ever knew that.
All right, Grant, you can be dismissed.
By the way, Markelle Fultz is another guy who they destroyed his jump shot for no reason, broke him down to nothing. He's repairing his career nicely, but, like, yeah, I don't know why they do that.
All right. Well, it's nice to see you both. I do have to run.
Bye, Grant.
Goodbye, gentlemen.
Listen to the Whistler Sports Show on the Madison Zone Sports Broadcast System.
You do this on purpose. It's not that hard. It's not that hard.
What is it? The Zone Sports?
Why you can't say that and think that's actually what it is? That doesn't make any sense.
Zone Sports Network, ZSN.
It's the Wisconsin Sports Zone Radio Network. It's the Wisconsin Sports Zone. It's not hard. It's not hard.
Do you wish your show had your name in it? Well, I guess it does. With Grant Bills.
I don't really give a shit. If we changed it to the Grant Bills Show, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. Like, you changed the Bart Winkler Show to
sweet logo.
It is a good logo. It's been the same one always. Nothing's ever changed. It's still got the 2018 on it. I don't know. I'll keep it. But
so Bart,
nice
we're
to see
do,
both. Bye, I'm gonna go have Bart. A beer on 3rd Street for you, Bart, this weekend.
Son of a bitch! It's gonna cost you.
Is it more sensitive to do it before or after a funeral? What's better?
Time's the funeral?
Well, I'm going to the visitation technically in the evening.
Oh, you gotta get a bloody probably, Adele's probably. At least.
I can get a bloody before and then a. You're right. I'm gonna. Yeah. We'll sandwich it. We'll go before and after. You guys perfect. Talk some wrestling. I'll see you both soon.
Well, no, I don't want to talk wrestling with Bart. Bye. Bart, we'll do the Bartometer though.
God, you love the Bartometer.
I'm curious what I want to hear how you're gonna do this. I'll save your ass again this week and remind you that the Bengals should be in there.
I just want to tell people that on Tuesday I told a story that I say fuck with my son. And we laugh. And it's a really nice bonding moment. And and some guy messaged me, found me on Facebook, said, I'm very disappointed in you, lost respect for you as if he was my dad. I said, the gall that you have to tell me how to raise my child. And he said, an even more disappointing response.
Oh.
And I said, likewise. And he said, I'll leave it at this. You even said on the show that you don't want your wife to know. Bitch, I am doing a radio show. I am entertaining you. Who knows that it's even true what I say? Criticize my sports takes. Criticize my voice. Criticize my inability to say common words. But don't you... Yeah. This is where some people would be like, don't you ever talk about my son. He's not. He's talking about me.
Keep
but
my son's name out your fucking mouth.
All right, this week's Bartometer is going to be which franchise is the most tortured right now in the NFL?
Which franchise is the most tortured right now? Okay.
Which franchise, if you're a fan of, are you like, fuck this? I can't say that, but.
Okay. Most tortured fan bases in the NFL. Okay.
I'll give you my 8, and then you can ask me where other teams are if you want. I'll tell you why they're not in.
Okay. Let me name a few real quick that just immediately come to mind. That I'll just be curious if they're in there.
On the list or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just curious if they're even in there. Washington has to be very high.
No, they're not in. They're not in.
What?
New ownership, feeling of optimism.
I get okay. Good counterpoint. Okay. The Jets have to be high.
Jets are definitely in.
Yeah, Jets have to be very high. It's not the Bears because they have the number one pick and they have a good prob on their hands with Fields. So not
optimism. The whole world's their oyster.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
It's tough. Hope springs eternal. There's a lot of teams that could feel okay right now.
I'm gonna say the Browns. You're stuck with Deshaun Watson. Like you're good, but you're not good enough. Are the Browns in there? I wouldn't think they'd be top 5, but I think they'd be in there.
I didn't put them in, but I could take a team out to put them in.
Okay, so you like the suggestion. I think the Cowboys have to be pretty high.
No, Cowboys are not in.
Why?
Because their fans are too stupid to understand.
So you're saying they should be in, but the fans, okay. That's yes. That's a comedic. I like that. I like that.
Realize it.
I don't think that, I don't, well, okay. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl recently, or wait, went to a Super Bowl.
I don't have the Eagles in.
Yeah, I don't think they should be. I don't think the Dolphins should be. I mean, I know you kind of have a weird Tua thing and you're stuck with that contract, but like, I don't think that's tortured fan base.
The Would you Texans, like a barometer? Would you like to hear it?
No, I want to see who this is hard. I want to see who else, if I can, the Panthers have a terrible owner and might've totally like made a terrible 10-year mistake by going with Bryce Young over CJ Stroud. Carolina's in the top five, right?
I'll tell you in a minute.
It could be the Giants. It could be the Vikings. The Falcons, I think, have reason for optimism. The Raiders have a new coach that the players like. Maybe it's Denver because you don't really have a. Okay, let's hear it. I'm curious. I don't think the Packers should be. If we were still stuck with Rodgers, I think the Packers should be in.
Fuck no.
I'm saying like, but a year ago, like, or 2 years ago, I would have said the Packers are in the top five, but it's. That's okay. Go ahead. And then I don't know the 49ers because they can't quite get over the hump and Shanahan can't win even if he's up double digits in the Super Bowl. All right, go ahead.
So I think I don't have the Lions in here. Should I have the Lions in?
No. Why?
Because they lost bad.
No. I mean, I would be very optimistic if I was a Lion more than I have been 30 plus years.
All right. Number eight is the Minnesota Vikings.
You want to
they
give me a quick...
have no direction. Very little hope. And now everyone else in their division has promise except for them.
Okay. I like that. Yep. Good argument.
Number seven is the Giants.
Yeah. Just because they're kind of stuck with Daniel Jones and
their coach sucks.
They're going to, you know, yeah.
But the Giants, good on the Giants. Because they find reasons. They find a Tommy DeVito who, I'll mention this and people won't know, he was their Sam Congato.
You're right. In Gatto we trust. Yeah.
Number six is the Steelers.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
The Steelers almost, are there because they have not had a losing season under Mike Tomlin, yet they don't give a fuck about that. They are just very heartbroken that they haven't been back in 15 years.
Yeah. I guess that's fair. Have they not been back since 2011 against the Packers?
No.
Hmm. Okay.
Number five is the Bills.
That's sell me on that.
Well, every Bills fan grew up knowing about their previous generation's heartache.
Yeah.
And thought, fuck, it might get bad again, but it'll never get that bad. And now it's like getting that bad.
No, it's not.
They can't beat the Chiefs.
But they have a young superstar quarterback.
Who can't win?
That's not fair.
Number four is the 49ers.
I mean, that seems about right.
Number three is the Panthers.
Okay, who's ahead of them? Jets and?
Number one is Atlanta.
Oh, what? Why?
Because the amount of people that have called and referenced 28-3, they are not over it.
No, what, just as
it is like how we feel, I think it's like how we feel about the Seattle NFC Championship game.
Sure.
Multiplied.
Because it was the Super Bowl.
And then it had this happened. So I think I'm right on this. I'll have to double check. That year, that was a long time ago. That was like 2015 or 2017. Here, let me look. But it was also the last year the Jets made the playoffs.
Hmm.
That Super Bowl was 2016. They made the playoffs the next year but lost. And then they've been 7-9, 7-9, 4-12, 7-10, 7-10, 7-10. Now they do have reason for optimism.
Yeah.
if they want to talk themselves into it. But 28-3, just when you thought it was over, with Shanahan being in the Super Bowl and blowing it again, yep, with possibly trying to get Bill Belichick,
yep,
they have relived it again.
Sure. So
currently, Atlanta, I'm putting at number one.
Let me ask you this. I don't know if this should be part of the Bartometer's.
The Bartometer also does factor in reaction it may get from different fan bases that have.
It's all, that it's all part of the algorithm. But mm-hmm, on a scale of 1 to 10, like I would say like Jets fans are a 10 out of 10 in terms of passion slash crazy. Like they just, they are diehard. Jets fans, I think of a Jets fan, I think of like, they love the Jets. They hate the Jets, but they love the Jets. I don't think of Atlanta fans in general, like people in the like Braves, like Hawks. Like I just don't think of them as being like more than a 6 out of 10 on the passion scale. Is that unfair? And if it isn't, does the Bartometer factor in?
The problem is that Atlanta is like, it's an SEC town.
Yeah, more so they
people,
have other
more people care about the Braves.
I'm gonna challenge. I'm gonna call in and tell you that I think that's too high. Jets got to be above the Falcons.
Well, that's what the Bartometer is doing.
All right,
whatever can kill a segment, Paul. You know that.
Yeah, but even better is if, which is what you're trying to do. I think it's like if it kills three segments because you get a bunch of calls from Atlanta. What about are any consideration toward the Ravens? They have a two-time league MVP.
No.
Zay Flowers, like
maybe.
Zay Flowers completely lost.
You can put him in at 9. You can put him in at 9, 10.
I mean, what I did just to pull up a quick list is I sorted the NFL standings from this past season, just a quick pull up a list of teams. And the Ravens were the only 13-win team. What number did you have Dallas at? You didn't.
No, I don't know. They're not in.
That doesn't make sense to me. I think if I was a Bills fan, I would feel just fine.
I could put I put the Cowboys in, but I like the bit too much.
Okay, fair enough. All right, fine.
Again, the Bartometer is its own thing.
And then next week you're going to
play voicemails. Do you want in on that or no?
No, I'm going to listen to it later, of course. But you do that. And then next week, we'll do the NBA player duos that Zach Gelb didn't mind doing, but you thought it was too much work.
I have destroyed this thing.
Is that what you're sitting on?
Well, what I'm sitting on is my chair from Fastlane.
With Goldberg on it?
Yeah. But then I've worn out that pad, so I have one of these.
Ah.
Stadium seats.
Yes.
Here are some of the sponsors of the Brewers. What year do you think this is? This is 70s, right?
Or 80s. Yeah, 70s. Yeah, 70s.
American Hampton Bank. Midland National Bank. Mitchell Street State Bank. Bank of Commerce. Oh, these are all just banks. Never mind. Does the Cedarburg State Bank still exist? Does the New Berlin State Bank still exist? What about Colonial State Bank in Thiensville?
I don't know.
How about Farmers and Merchants Bank in Menominee Falls? You can buy your tickets by phone at the stadium or by mail. Can you imagine sending the Brewers a check for tickets? And then a week later, getting tickets. That's fucked up.
I very, very, very much miss hard copy tickets.
Oh, yeah.
That's the worst for me. That's like the biggest, like, oh, you know, we're just going to send them to your phone. Like, no, I want my ticket.
I want my fucking ticket.
I want to hold the ticket. I want to keep the ticket. Give me a ticket, a physical ticket.
Well, now teams are like, oh, you want a ticket? You can buy one.
Yeah. Would you like to convert your digital copy into a printed
copy? I have pretty much every ticket I've ever used in a box right over there.
I do too. I have many of them.
Mm-hmm. when I would print them out and use it doing that way. I still have those.
Wait, what do you mean? Like you'd get like it emailed to you?
Yeah, like when I went to a Packers Titans game in Nashville, I have that ticket printed out.
Just like you printed on your printer and then you kept the yeah, okay. That's not as cool.
No. All right, bud.
All right. Be well. Talk to you later.
Bye, Paul.
Bye.
One more segment of the show that will be voicemails. Let us do some voicemails from Carl's Place. Carlovet.com/Bart. Use that link. If you just go to carlovet.com, if you're in the market for a golf simulator, then I don't give any credit. Carlovet.com/Bart. I'm going to take up golf. Like, I've taken up golf. I'm going to get fucking good at it, though. I got all these days to just dick around. I mean, I still got to work at night and prep for the show, but I can squeeze in an 18. All right. I've got one here from Brett in Tosa. 402-915-2278. 402-915-BART. Here is Brett in Tosa.
Hey, Bart. Brent Tosa here. I listened to your Tuesday show, and obviously baseball's right around the corner. I'm still hoping the Bucks can turn things around, but with baseball around the corner, I'm getting excited for the Brewers. And obviously my excitement's still a little less because of the whole council news, and I couldn't agree with you more on your rant over council and how he thinks he can get away with this. And I guess my plea to Brewers fans, what I want to do here is go out, get your ticket for Memorial Day. I believe it's May 27th, first game back. Get your tickets behind the Cubs dugout. Reach out to me on Twitter. I will supply all beer in the parking lot if you're a Bart Winkler show listener. And if you get tickets behind the Cubs dugout. I love living in Wisconsin. I love the culture in Wisconsin. I love how friendly everyone is. We have to be able to turn the switch at times. And this, on Memorial Day, is a day where we have to turn the switch. I agree. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to throw things. I don't want. There's a line that we can't cross. But we have to get as close to that line as possible. And I've got 4 tickets, a couple rows behind the Cubs dugout. I will be there. I want to make this as miserable as possible for that motherfucker. And we cannot forget about it. We can't, I know this happened a long time ago. We can't forget about it. We can't bloom when he gets announced in the first inning and sit on our butt the rest of the game and act like nothing happened. So I've got 3 months. I don't know where that line is yet. I probably need to watch how much I drink in the parking lot to make sure I don't get arrested. We've got 3 months to figure it out. Without crossing that line, I agree with you. Whoever spray painted ass, keep doing it. And let's not let him forget this. So that's all I got. Thanks.
And that was a message that Brett sent before the editorial that we started the show with, where somebody from Virginia, I'm going to read part of it. It is like, it's the worst written thing I've ever heard in my life or ever read. It's so bad. Just every bad writing trope is awful. As a lifelong Brewers fan, I am rooting for the Cubs. There, I said it. But before Brew Crew Nation throws overcooked sausages on my bona fides, rest assured, I'm aware of the line I'm crossing. Those Wrigley folk are a beer garden masquerading as a fan base. So how many offensive and lame things? Cooked sausages on my bona fides. A cheap shot at the Cubs to gain favor. That was dumb. Then he talks about council. I see no rooting. No choice but to take my rooting interest south of the border. I don't mean the sandbag, the sterling record of the Brewers' current and well-meaning owner. Like a pine tree hanging from a rear-view mirror, he has cleared the air of a certain used car stench. Some of us weren't sure we'd live long enough to see it. Zing, boom, and most of all, Torero. Man, fuck this guy. I can't even read the rest of it. It's so offensive. Then he lays out ground rules. Whoever wrote this is Marshall Ekblad. He might be outside of war crimes. He might be the worst human ever. Oh, wow. Senior Director of Media Relations at the University of Virginia. Oh, he's not even old. I shouldn't be doing this. I'm on his LinkedIn. Maybe I should get him on the show. See what the hell he's thinking. He's a young guy. Kind of looks like me. Well, he got to be published in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. What a hero. What a hero. All right. Anyway, another voicemail for you. And that will be from Dan in Grafton. Dan.
Hey, Bart. Hope you're doing well. Hey, Dan. Yeah, I just got to get this off my chest. Sorry if it's, can't really hear me all that well. I'm outside on my AirPods, walking my dog. We live right next to the freeway, so it's kind of loud. But if you can hear this, hopefully you can hear this. Hopefully we play this. But I'm listening to your show right now, your Tuesday show. And I think someone commented saying 35 and 21, not good enough. Well, we're the third seed, first of all. Second of all, we have Dame freaking Lillard. Who would have thought, you know, like 7 years ago that the Bucks would have, well, two superstars paired with, you know, a three-time All-Star, Chris Middleton, paired with the all-time leading scorer in Nets history, Brook Lopez, and other players who are coming here wanting to play for the Bucks, not just like, you know, traded or added because they, you know, they had nowhere else to go, like a J.J. Redick. And, yeah, Jordan's team and playing really well. People are just need to be humble. That's all I got to say. People need to be humble about the Bucks. Think about, like, 7, 8 years ago when, yeah, like, we were winning some games and everything. We were making the playoffs, but, I mean, we were just happy enough to make the playoffs. And now, like, oh, if we don't win the finals, it's a whole ordeal. People are going to cry about it. I mean, we have Giannis for a long time. We have Dame for the next 4 years. I don't think there's anything to worry about. I don't know why people are bitching about this. And, yes, I've tweeted out right after the Memphis game that I was really upset, but that's just how I react to things. And I wish it wasn't like that, but that's just how I react, I guess. And I got to stop. I gotta look at the big picture. And I think that's what you're doing. That's what I want to do. That's what a lot of these Bucks fans need to do because people just need to be humble about what we have. And let's just ride it out and see what happens in the playoffs. All right.
It's okay to be upset when the Bucks do something to upset you. I can't gatekeep on that, but the way we react, it's like sometimes when I get cut off or if there's something that happens to me in traffic, it's okay to be like, ah, what the fuck, man? But instead, I honk, I swerve, I pretend like I'm devastated. My reaction to a near accident almost causes a new accident. So I'll take my own advice, but we got to relax. But I've preached that enough. Here's Hot Take Jake.
Hey, Barty. It's your boy, Hot Take Jake. I'm going to try to talk to you. I missed the show, man. I don't know. This must be what it's like when two parents get divorced, but it's on good terms, and, you know, they're sharing custody of the kids, and they just kind of see each other every now and then, and, you know, you knew it was the right call, and you're happy for the other person, but it's like, no, you just miss the old times sometimes. But I had to call to comment on your outrage about this supposed outrage about the Bucks, and I also had to comment on your John McLaughlin impression. McLaughlin, that was very much Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. I don't know what you were going for there, but
you got to add in, like, you're out of breath, like, you just woke up from a nightmare or something, so, like, that, so it's like, okay, GM, here we go, just a couple quick stops, couple quick baskets. So you got, like, a little bit.
that was Yogi Bear.
Like, John McLaughlin and Shaggy, but I digress. Bart, I love how positive you like to stay. Now, I don't know if you truly are this positive or if this is, like, a defense mechanism. I'm thinking it's more of the latter, but you can't be mad at Bucks fans for, you know, you say making a big deal out of things when you mentioned it yourself. You got to put context behind these things. So maybe if Dame, like, says he's my top five, you put Bam in there and not Giannis, that's one thing. But contextually, this is the guy that sat around and moped because all he wanted to do was go to the Heat, and that was it. Like, he wasn't going to take anything else for an answer. So it feels like, oh, you say it's not a big deal, but when you add in the fact that since he's been in Milwaukee, he's looked miserable, he hasn't played like his old self, you know, you got to take those things into context. So, yes, maybe one thing on the surface isn't the biggest thing. When you add it all in, on top of the fact that we're paying three head coaches, one of which can't keep his dumb fucking mouth shut to save his life and keeps making things worse and worse on himself and on the team and the expectations, like, what do you expect? I don't know, man. Just, I wish I could just ignore these things. And the other thing I wanted to say is, yes, like, maybe some people are freaked out or, like, really mad. I'm more bummed out than anything because this was supposed to be, like, the greatest Bucks season ever. And nothing has worked so far other than their talent has carried them to some wins. But it feels more and more to me like the Anthony Mason Bucks, where you have these expectations and this is it. And you just kind of see it and you're hoping it's not the case. But little by little, this thing is falling apart. So I don't know. I hope I'm wrong, but just doesn't feel like our year. But don't be mad at people for noticing the obvious. I almost feel like there's more people mad about other people being mad than the actual shitty year.
Not this time. Nope.
I don't know.
Now you got cut off from the 3 minutes, but good voicemail from Jake. Here's what I'll say with the Bucks. I might react the same way that everybody else reacts. I might do that. I might freak out. I might crumble. I save it for the playoffs. They're going to make the regular season. Nobody is even complaining about the one or two seed. You're not even complaining about that. You don't care. You just care about how it looks and how it's going to make you feel because you don't think they're going to be able to flip a switch or whatever. And maybe they won't, but there's still 2 months before the playoffs. They're 35-21. They played some games. You know, we all talk about that Memphis game. Nobody talks. Not Bucks fans don't even talk. They kick the shit out of Denver. No one cares. It's a good basketball team. They still have to figure out how to best utilize everybody. Middleton's been hurt. It's a big part of that. And the coaching has been weird. And we'll see. I'll judge them in the postseason. And even in the postseason, remember the year they won? How many of you thought it was over? Two down to the Nets. And you cry, cry, cry. How many of you thought it was over? Two down to the Suns. Wah, wah, wah. You got to watch the movie first before you have an opinion on the movie. You got to watch the story. You got to read the book first. Oh, I don't get what's going on here. Did you finish it? No. Maybe in the end it all pays off. It all works out. There is a rush. The Bucks fans have such a desire not to be heartbroken that you break your own heart instead. And it's weird. And with that, I bid you adieu. The show's still here. We're cranking out two a week, Jake. I know we're not on after the games, but Sparky is a lot. Ron and Drew are a lot. Justin Garcia on the radio. So there is good Bucks conversation. I'm on the air. Call me. Say, did you watch that Bucks game? As a matter of fact, I did. Let's talk. I know it's not the same, but let's make it the same. First couple weeks on the show, I heard from a lot of you guys. I don't hear from you guys as much. I thought we were gonna take over. That together we would all invade. Instead, I'm hearing from jackasses from San Diego telling me how to parent. Yeah, comes with the territory, I suppose. Thanks to Grant and Paul. Thanks to those of you that did leave voice messages. No thanks to Marshall Ekblad. Have a great weekend. Bye.